Today I'm going to talk to you about deriving drought stress experienced in large dryland cotton variety trials from temporally dense soil moisture measurements. To start with, I'm going to cover the tools that we have to monitor drought. Obviously, this won't be news for anyone in the room, but I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the concerns we have with some of these devices in cotton production. I'll touch briefly on some previous research with two objectives for my dissertation: the development of this soil moisture stress index that we intend to use, and then testing the spatiotemporal variability of measured soil moisture across relatively large agricultural fields. And then I'll move into and touch briefly on my current research objective, which is deriving drought stress experienced in large dryland variety trials. We're talking about 20 plus acres from temporally dense soil moisture measurements. And then I'll have some closing comments as we try to move this forward. Varietal drought tolerance is very important to us in West Tennessee. Our cotton producing acres are largely dry land, so rainfall is very important to us, and drought tolerance is also very important to us. Unfortunately, the only way we characterize varietal drought tolerance currently is through rainfall. We may not even report rainfall on some of these reports, so it's very difficult to combine yield across sites and seasons and infer varietal drought tolerance. Further complicating the issue is a very rapid varietal turnover. We've already seen a transition from Bolgard 1 to Bolgard 2. We have Bolgard 3 coming and Bolgard 4 in development. So with these new technology traits coming on board, we see rapid producer adoption, and the varieties that we've come to know all quickly fall by the wayside. One of the examples of this is some preliminary data from 2015. I have eight varieties that we tested. Of those eight varieties we tested in these variety trials, six of those were not commercially available last year. So six of these were brand new to me, and they represent about 70% of the cotton grown in West Tennessee in this year. So producers, they don't necessarily need variety data from the university to adopt a new variety. They're comfortable risking it, if you will, on some of these new varieties. We don't have a lot of information on them. We definitely don't have information on varietal drought tolerance. Effective rainfall is very difficult to measure, and it's very hard to quantify and then relate that to yield. Canopy temperature has tremendous potential, but in the humid mid-south and southeastern regions, we have concerns with cloud cover, particularly starting at midday and then moving on through the afternoon, the points in time that are most valuable for us when we're trying to characterize drought stress. And you can see in this video, as the clouds come over, the leaf angles change, leaf temperature and canopy temperature, leaf temperature and ambient air temperature match, and then we lose any useful information from that measurement. We feel that soil moisture has potential. This is the Decagon 5TE sensor in a deployment that we made in 2012. We didn't use the 5TEs this year. We used the EC5s. But the previous objectives that we had were to determine if a limited number of soil moisture sensors could accurately characterize the volumetric water content at a given point and then extrapolate this out to the field scale. The second objective was to examine the potential of using this measured volumetric water content and extrapolated weather data to quantify experienced drought stress in cotton variety trials. My current objective really is building on those previous two. We're really trying to ramp this up to a larger scale, 20 plus acre fields, where we still continue to use the soil moisture data and then weight that with weather station data as well. I'm going to touch briefly on some of the results we found from the previous objectives. There's a couple reasons for that I'll get into in a minute. But if you look at, and this is a lot of data for a slide, and I apologize. We have profile weighted volumetric water content at each individual location across the top. And then we have subsequently calculated standard deviation and coefficients of variation. And what we saw from these trials, we had seven locations in 2013, quite a bit of increase in standard deviation associated with rewetting events as the water moved through the profile. We saw a lot of variability. Coefficients of variation typically declined as moisture content increased. And if we look at profile weighted volumetric water content versus standard deviation on the top and coefficient of variation on the bottom, we see that typical trend as you increase volumetric water content, the standard deviation declined. Same thing with coefficient of variation. So some of these trends were relatively weak, but we did see that we saw the least variability when the field was wet, more variability as the field dried down. This is really what I was excited to see, though. If we focus on the relationship of the mean relative difference between sensors at any given point in time, and this is actually averaged over the entire growing season, I'm going to focus on the Prattville location. This single node, which represented four sensors, it started wetter and it finished wetter. As we moved towards the west sensor, that sensor was a little bit more moist throughout the growing season, and it remained that way. So I don't know how absolutely accurate these sensors are, but I think they're extremely precise. And if we can quantify, use in-season observations to calibrate the sensors, I think we have a lot of potential with this type of a deployment. Now, the end goal is to calculate the stress index. And I've got plant available water on the y-axis, days after planting on the x-axis. I'm going to focus on two lines to begin with, the solid blue and the solid red. The solid blue representing the well-watered plant available water, and the solid red representing water deficit stressed plant available water. So you can see after we reach the arbitrary 50% plant available water, we underwent some severe stress in this 2012 season. The other thing I want to point out here are the dotted lines, the water deficit stress, soil moisture stress index, and the well-watered soil moisture stress index. And you can see the well-watered, very little stress until we breach that line. We begin to see stress units accrue compared to the water deficit, which spent the majority of the season below that 50% plant available water threshold, severe stress. And the goal here is to accumulate these stress units and relate that to yield. The framework is old. It was out of the 70s with Hiller and Clark. The only thing that we've done, I'll touch briefly on, there's two main factors, the crop susceptibility factor and a stress day parameter. The crop susceptibility factor varies with growth stage. It is not a crop coefficient. Instead of talking about water use, we're talking about susceptibility to drought stress. So it does contrast the KC. For the stress day parameter, this really represents degree and duration of plant water deficit. We use this exponential curve, and I actually include a weighting factor which accounts for potential evapotranspiration. I feel like that's something that should definitely be included beyond just the plant available water measurement. Now, in this talk, I also wanted to cover a little bit about how we process and tease out some of these relationships. I pull all of this data in initially into JUMP, and I think JUMP is extremely valuable. I know there are several other programs out there, but for getting a first glance at the data, JUMP is a tremendous tool, especially for picking out outliers. After I do that, I pull it into Excel, and this is the program that I've been running through. I've got the crop susceptibility factor here. I've got the stress day parameter here. The soil depth weighting factor is down here, and then this is really my results. So we have some seed cotton yields reported here, and then accumulated stress units. So I can, in this front page, if you will, I can tweak any one of these parameters and then see how that impacts the relationships with seed cotton yields. So this is how I've started processing the data. I think it's extremely a valuable tool. Moving into what we're doing in 2015, I instrumented four plots in 2015. We had Crockett County, Fayette, Gibson, and Madison County. Each one of these was anywhere from 24 to 56 acres. Very, very large plots. We had eight varieties represented that were replicated three times, and every replication received at least one deployment. Now, I always deployed these sensors in the same variety because I wanted to make sure that I didn't see a variety effect from water uptake. So I have four deployments, and each one of those would have gone into the Phytogen 444 treatment. Now, absolutely could not conduct this type of research, Dr. Barco. I know you've had some experiences with this. The round bale pickers allow us to do a lot more than we could with a basket picker. We can process or conduct large trials and remove those from the field very quickly. Our 56-acre trial is actually this trial here. We had that trial picked and weighed within 5 hours. So it's tremendously, a whole lot faster than anything we could do with a basket picker weighing bull buggy. This is what the deployments look like at each location. We place the sensors at 3, 9, 18, and 30 inches. We would auger down to that depth. We sampled the soil as we augered it out. I do want to point out the raindrops on my auger. I'll come back to that. Our EM5B data logger is what we use to collect the data, and these are all deployed EC5, Deccagon EC5 sensors. And there's the data logger at the end of the year. As you can see, we don't have any problem with implements running over it. It is below the canopy and placed in row. So this is us making that last deployment. We dodged rains the whole time. You can see it was right behind us. And I talked a lot today about 2013 data, and that's because in 2015 we did not have any water stress. Tennessee yields, cotton yields, will be record yields in this year. So we put forth a valiant effort, in my opinion, but I'm not going to be able to share with you much on the drought stress calculation. What I do want to point out is a couple of observations, again, from infield comparisons. Each one of these lines represents a profile-weighted volumetric water content at each one of those locations. As you can see, there are definitely some trends. Everything seems to move similarly. When we contrast each one of these nodes, profile, weighted, volumetric water content, relationships are very good. R-squared is of 0.93, 90, 89. I do want to point out the other thing to consider here is intercept and slope, and our slopes are not ideal. Slopes of 0.78, 0.82, we do have one that's very close to one. Ideally, we would have an intercept of zero and a slope of one. What this says to me, again, restates, these sensors are not tremendously accurate, but I think they're very precise. And that's why we see a very good trend between the sensors. So I think you're going to have to calibrate these sensors to make this approach useful, but I think it has tremendous potential. Similar trends with coefficient of variation and standard deviation. As we start increasing profile-weighted volumetric water content, we do see a decline in CV and standard deviation. So in closing, rapid, precise responses to soil moisture sensors, the changes in volumetric water content were noted. And then we saw temporal stability. So I think we have a potential to use this type of a deployment to characterize in-season drought. Unfortunately, 2015, similar to 2014, we did not see very much drought stress. And so the assumption that drought stress is the limiting factor has again been violated, and we feel that that's going to lead the predicted yield stress index relationships to be very illogical. Still feel like the index has some potential. We hope to use that at some point to incorporate into the seed matrix, but we will have to have a few years of drought stress before we can use that data. A long list of people to thank. This was supported by Cotton Incorporated. I very much appreciate their support, and a large number of collaborators appreciate their participation. This is my contact information. I think we have just maybe time for one question. Yes, sir.
So how complicated do you think it will be to get your accuracy on the scale that you're talking about? You said say you got the precision, but you mentioned individually calibrating. That's calibrating in each hole for each sensor, each season?
I think we're going to have to look at each. I think we're going to have to look at each hole. I think we're going to have to make point observations after we deploy those sensors to visually characterize the drought that we think is occurring. I don't think we can't afford. I think the issue with accuracy is cost, and I don't think we can afford to spend that money for this type of an objective. I think I've run a little bit long here. I apologize.